liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm delighted to be joined at the bottom of the hour by a return engagement from Sophia Smallstorm. I'm sure many in the audience will be very glad to hear she'll be here again. The Wisconsin State Journal had as its lead story, Fauci hopes for full okay soon for the mRNA vaccine, when it's experimental and they're operating completely out of whack, completely out of control. And the evidence that this is overwhelmingly dangerous, in fact, actually lethal, is becoming irrepressible. How long the media can hold out is a great question. Dr. Hobi Havi, director of the Jerusalem Hospital, is warning vax data alerts to massive problem, a vaccinologist's worst nightmare. Get this. 95% of severe COVID vax hospitalizations in Israel are from the vaccinated. Vaccinated account for 95% of severe COVID hospitalizations. Now, in the U.S. media, they'd simply change it to say unvaccinated, but the fact is it's the vaccinated. Dr. Robert Malone has observed that the data is going from bad to worse. Antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE, is a worst-case scenario for virologists, as a vaccine is causing the virus to be more infectious than in the absence of the unvaccinated, meaning in the absence of the vaccination, and would cause the virus to replicate at higher levels. This is the vaccinologist's worst nightmare. U.S. news coverage, of course, is so different. Despite acknowledging it may be less effective, blaming a new variant, they're still pushing a narrative that is over 90% effective in preventing serious illness. But the situation gets even worse from Germany. Heidelberg chief pathologist calls for more autopsies of vaccinated people. The chief pathologist at the University of Heidelberg, Peter Schirmacher, urges many more autopsies of vaccinated people. In addition to corona deaths, the corpses of people who died in connection with a vaccination would also have to be examined more frequently. The director of the Pathological Institute in Heidelberg even warns of a high number of unreported cases of vaccination deaths and complaints. For a year now, corona deaths have been autopsied at the university clinics in the Southwest to better understand the disease. Well, get this. 40 vaccinated persons autopsied within 2 weeks in Baden-Württemberg. The pathologists worked with public prosecutors, the police, and resident doctors, report Schirmacher. More than 40 people have already been autopsied who died within 2 weeks of being vaccinated. In his opinion, the frequency of fatal consequences of vaccinations is underestimated. A politically explosive statement in times when the vaccination campaign is losing momentum, the Delta variant is spreading rapidly, and restrictions on non-vaccinated people are being discussed. By the end of August this month, he'll probably have completed at least 200 autopsies on vaccinated deaths and have more to tell us. But bear in mind, the so-called Delta variant is really just another name to give to people who've been vaccinated and died. You simply say they died from the Delta variant. Since they were already vaccinated, after all, how could they die from COVID if the vaccines work? Well, we know, of course, it's a monstrous fraud, a lie, humongous. The ramifications here are enormous. I did a show earlier this morning, the Goldfish Report, with Louisa, who actually participated in a vaccine trial before. And she was showing on the air the multi-page statement that you have to agree to that states all the conditions of this experimental vaccination procedure. It has to be adopted by an experimental vaccination review board. No one has heard hide nor hair of any experimental vaccination review board with regarding these mRNA vaccines. No one's heard anything about it. Well, it's required under law. And in fact, the Nuremberg Code, all 10 postulates of the Nuremberg Code are being violated here by this massive experiment worldwide. And the penalty for the violation of the code, is death. You can receive the death penalty for violating the Nuremberg Code. And Fauci and his cohort are all violating the Nuremberg Code right and left. Remember, for anyone who's still in any doubt, we have a lot of those who have already taken the vax, including relatives of mine, family members, in the false belief the vax is good. Well, if you believe the vax is good and COVID is real, then you've saved yourself. Even if COVID were fake, you've merely gone through an inconvenient vaccination. But that's all on the assumption the vax is good. And I have no doubt everyone I know who's taken the vax acted in the false belief that the vax is good. But when it turns out the vax is bad, then no matter what, COVID is real or COVID is fake, you're going to do yourself either serious harm or bring about your own death. This is not even, therefore, debatable. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has conceded the COVID virus is just like the common flu and that 500,000 Americans are dead from the vaccine. I do have a video to play here, if I can get the audio to work okay. Let's see what happens here.
Dr. Reiner Fulmick is the public front man for an international team comprised of hundreds of lawyers and medical experts who have begun legal proceedings over the CDC, the WHO, and the Davos Group for committing crimes against humanity. The protocol for the PCR test given by the WHO and the CDC was knowingly set to a level that guaranteed 100% false positives or false negatives. So there is no pandemic. This is all about getting people to take the shot. Their argument is that we are at the very least being subjected to an illegal experiment, and at the worst, global genocide. Dr. Fulmick points out how the experimental jab is in clear violation of all 10 of the Nuremberg codes, which carry the penalty of death for those who violate them. Number one, voluntary consent is absolutely essential. There should be no intervention or any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, or any form of constraint or coercion. By definition, a vaccine must provide immunity to the virus, protect recipients from getting the virus, reduce deaths, infections, circulation, and transmission of the virus. We are told the experimental jab does none of these, yet they fraudulently call it a vaccine. As far as duress, constraint, and coercion, it's everywhere. If you want your life back, get the shot. Number two, the experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results unprocurable by other methods. The most fruitful method would be a healthy immune system, which can be achieved through good health and natural supplements such as vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. But the people are not being told this. In fact, those who point it out are being vilified and silenced. Number three, the experiment should be designed and based on the results of animal experimentation. This experimental jab skipped animal testing. Number four, the experiment should be so conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. According to official reports, there are already thousands of deaths and over 250,000 injuries from this experiment. Number five, no experiment should be conducted where there is an a priori reason to believe that death or disabling injury will occur. Past trials have shown a strong possibility that these new spike proteins will cause a body to attack itself. This is known as antibody-dependent enhancement, or ADE. And recent doctors have blown the whistle that this could end up killing everybody who's been vaccinated in the next 2 years. Six, the risk should never exceed the benefit. COVID-19 has a 98 to 99% survival rate, less deadly than the seasonal flu. The experimental jab is already the most dangerous vaccine in VAERS 30-year history. Number seven, proper preparations should be made and adequate facilities provided to protect the experimental subject against even remote possibilities of injury, disability, or death. There were no preparations made. There are no facilities. The subject shows up for their shot and goes home. Number eight, the experiment should be conducted only by scientifically qualified persons. This experiment has been exclusively run by politicians, the media, celebrities, and big pharma bureaucrats. Number nine, the subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end. Thousands of medical experts have attempted to end this madness, and their voices continue to be silenced. Number 10, the experiment must be brought to an end if resulting in injury or death. And yet, the experiment pushes on. Once again, those who violate these international laws are subject to the death penalty. Legal proceedings are moving forward and evidence is being collected. Whistleblowers are directed to contact the international team at www.securewhistleblower.com. This is likely the biggest crime ever committed against the world population. And the question is, do we still have a judicial system to exact justice? For Infowars.com, this is Greg Reese.
That was a simply sensational report from Infowars. Got it exactly right. We have further confirmation now from a Cornell chemistry professor. Speaking of Dr. Fauci, he says, describes him as a pathological liar. Colum is a Betty R. Miller professor of chemistry and chemical biology at Cornell, holds a PhD from Columbia. He's referring to FOIA requests about Fauci's emails. He points out that they're heavily redacted. What could only imagine what the redactions were. I got the feeling reading the emails that Fauci was smart enough to know to not himself say anything. Fauci didn't say incriminating things, but it was the emails to Fauci that were incriminating. He also took exception to the state of the country locking down again. This is where it just keeps getting darker, he said. It started out as flatten the curve, and that made total sense at the time. it seemed like the scramble was to try and understand it, which I gave credit to them. It was really garbled because everything was anti-Trump at the time. But where I went off the rails was when it was looking like the pandemic was starting to subside and they weren't stopping. He continued. So now what I see, what's confounding to me, which takes me down really dark places, I see panic, authoritarian levels that we vaccinate. And it's Soviet-style propaganda. It's coercion. It's bludgeoning. He then discussed the lab leak theory, which had been ruminated about. I call it a crime against humanity, Colm said, talking about the possibility of a lab leak cover-up. It's interesting to look back now when we know what we know about Fauci's communications. It does look like a cover-up. What else are we going to find out? It's been 18 months, and the idea of a lab leak has gone from completely batshit conspiracy theory to this is the most common sense explanation. It's not just that, Colm adds. Serious biochemists have looked at the sequencing and said that does not make sense. There's no ethical guidelines for some of the egomaniacs in science. He pointed out non sequiturs in the official narrative. It's incoherent because they're saying if you get vaccinated, you'll be protected. And then they're saying the people who are not vaccinated are risking the other people who are vaccinated. I'm like, which is it? To vaccinate kids is nuts. And you know what else is psychotic? The moment where it crossed the dotted line was December 2020. The vaccine had been out for a very brief period. The CDC tweeted, I can recite it almost verbatim. Although there are no studies, there's no reason pregnant women shouldn't get the vaccine. He continued to exasperate. You're telling these women who are told don't even drink an effing glass of wine to get a GD mRNA vaccine, even though there are no studies? That shows you the sociopathy of the campaign. Now we have, by the way, more fear, what I believe to be fear porn coming from the CDC. Edward Hendry has published, and I've republished on my blog, the CDC plans on house arrests and lockdowns and evictions and relocations and concentration camps. Get this, for uninfected persons, for uninfected. Editor's note, I add it. After serious consideration, I suspect this is the CDC's latest version of peer porn, which is most unlikely to occur in practice because it would lead to a national bloodbath, but might inspire some who are reluctant to take the jab on very good grounds to surrender to their apprehension and take it. Meanwhile, it turns out the CDC's director, Walensky's husband, received $5 million in Health and Human Services grants. And he's got a company that's just a startup. It doesn't have any experience. Here's a comment by the author. I have previously worked in the world of grant writing, can tell you most agency will not give grants to organizations that have existed for less than a year and organizations that have no other stream of funding. In this particular case, the only funding that this company he organized has received to date is the $5.3 million allocated from the grant received. So what we got here is this woman who's running the CDC, who, of course, like virtually everyone else running this shop, happens to be Jewish. And I say that because prime ministers of Israel have expressed contempt for the United States. Bibi Netanyahu in 2020 was saying, America is the golden calf. We're gonna suck it dry and chop it into parts and leave it nothing but a gigantic welfare state because that's what we do with nations we hate. That's Bibi Netanyahu. We're told he's supposed to be our buddy. Well, I'm telling you, it's staggering how many figures involved in this all turn out to be Jewish. So I am... It's a fact. I mean, it's not debatable. It's a fact that the primary players here turn out to be Jewish. And one has to wonder, therefore, whether this is an attempt to fulfill Bibi Netanyahu's aspiration to destroy America, which, of course, has been George Soros' ultimate aspiration. He said he wants to destroy America before he dies. Now, Mitchell happens to have some additional information that fits right in this context. So I want to give Mitchell the opportunity before the break, and we bring in our featured guest for today. Mitchell, join the conversation.
Hey, hello, Jim. Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, I should say, or morning, wherever you are. I hope you all are having a great day. Thank you, Jim, for letting me pitch my two cents in on this pile of dung that we're getting from the Center for Disease Control. While you talk about ADE, antibody-dependent type illnesses in the vaccinated itself, I see a much larger problem, and that is the creation of super COVID viruses that come out of this, because the vaccinated never get cured. The disease actually just sits there in a stasis. Well, it's not in a stasis. It's always going to be mutating. And we know this happens from clinical studies that we've already had, where one patient actually took 10 or 12, 15 months till they passed away from COVID. That person had an immune system that was compromised. But they said that person actually went through 12 or 13 different COVID mutation states, I guess is a good description. And today, if we literally have millions of people that are going to be walking around infected that are never cured, we're essentially, you know, we're guaranteed to have an unwanted selective mutation. We know this from pesticides. We know this from herbicides like glyphosate, aka Roundup, where now there's 50 to 100 different species of weeds that have glyphosate resistance. We know the rats in London, England, that have been genetically altered because of warfarin, where they can take 7 to 8 times the amount of rat poison and still keep on going while the average rat is long dead. The Colorado potato beetle, that is an interesting bug because it has 52 or more different mutations that in its entire life cycle, in this beetle's life cycle, that have changed. We're looking at, well, I call it an extinction level event for the simple fact that we can't control any of this because of the number of people that have been vaccinated. I call that, look, they need to stop vaccinating people now. They need to withdraw this shit off the market and stop enabling the natural evolution or the unnatural selective evolution of this stuff. It's insanity. It's insanity, Jim. I don't know what else I can say. I mean, people need to wake up. This is how we ended up with MRSA. Are we going to end up with, you know, a COVID strain that is, you know, as a parallel abusive evolution? Well, it's crazy.
Mitchell. Yeah. Listen, you're... argument follows if there's a bona fide COVID virus, then what you're saying is very reasonable. My conclusion is there is no bona fide COVID virus. Okay. What we have, however, is a lethal vaccine. In other words, the virus was just a mass illusion to inspire people to take the vaccine, which is what is going to kill them. But it's doing that. It is killing them. It is injuring them. And if you listen to the, you know, the Nuremberg Code, that means it should be withdrawn. It should be ended immediately. Mm-hmm. And as I learned from Louisa, which I thought was fascinating because she's participated in an experimental vaccine project in the past, there's an elaborate form that goes, it spells out all the conditions. You can withdraw anytime you want. You got to be informed of all the risks. You got to know everything going on. You got to have true informed consent. And it has to be approved by an experimental vaccine review board. Yeah. Well, no one's heard of any experimental vaccine review board. And get this, Mitchell, Anthony Fauci is the guy who designs these protocols for emergency vaccine review boards, and they've been completely finessed here. So your conclusion is 100% correct. These vaccines should be stopped immediately. And I'll tell you something else. I think the shit is about to hit the fan, because when you got these reports from Israel, which is the most highly vaxxed country in the world, that they got a staggering number, a staggering percentage who are in this category of hospitalized, and they're vaccinated. 95% of the COVID hospitalizations are among the vaccinated. And when you've got this pathologist doing autopsies in Germany and finding 30 to 40% of those who are dead died from the vaccination. I mean, you got death and injury taking place on the right and left. Clearly, in accordance with the Nuremberg protocols, this all has to be brought to a monstrous halt and immediate and total cessation. So your appeal is completely right, Mitch, completely right. And it's got to happen. Listen, there are going to be so many pissed off people when they learn that they are essentially the walking dead and that Anthony Fauci was a key player. Honestly, I don't think Anthony Fauci's life is worth a plug nickel. Someone is going to assassinate him and everyone else involved in this, because the truth is coming out, Mitchell. The truth is coming out.
The walking diseased, Jim. That's what I would consider the vaxxed, the walking diseased that essentially can't be cured. I had a flu last spring. In the end of February, I caught a horrible chest cold that I've never had anything like it before. And I'm pretty sure I had MERS. I'm pretty sure I had swine flu, because I've had the crud and all these other things. And it was a flu like I've never had. And it took me 8 months to literally get over it. So I had something serious. Maybe they haven't isolated it, and maybe not.
And Mitchell, thank you. And when we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Sophia Smallstorm. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have a return engagement from one of the researchers for whom I have the highest regard. She's done simply exquisite work on Sandy Hook, 9/11, and a host of other issues. And it's my great pleasure to bring her back to the Raw Deal again today. Sophia, welcome back to the Raw Deal.
Thank you, Jim. That's very nice of you to have me back. How are you?
Fine, coping. I have family members who wouldn't hear the idea that getting the vax was bad. They actually went ahead without even sharing with me they'd done it. So that's causing me a lot of consternation, especially given the way all these matters are developing, on which I've been reporting for well over a year or so. And in spite of my best efforts, I haven't even been successful with my own family.
Well, that's very typical, Jim. A lot of people are saying that, you know. And the thing is, everybody comes into this world with a certain amount of their own autonomy, their own authority to make decisions, and we can't influence everything they do, right?
I agree. I concede. I acknowledge. It's a matter of such enormous importance, potentially involving life and death, that I'm just profoundly disappointed I was unsuccessful. But you're completely right. Go forward.
Well, Jim, you know, a few nights ago, I woke up and I had this, I call them downloads, where your subconscious has been chewing over something and then you get like a revelation that if it happens in the middle of the night, I absolutely have to write it down because I'm not going to remember it by morning. And what I wrote down was this. This was on August 2nd. The COVID vaccine is an offer of contract for you to enter the transhuman exchange, whereby your biology will be exchanged with or modified by synthetic recoding. There is no money necessary, it's free. The presumption or pretext is protection from disease. And this offer of contract, Jim, for people to enter this transhumanist agenda is being advertised day and night. And it also struck me that it is a global capstone event.
Well, you pointed out that Sandy Hook, for example, was a global capstone event, and so have been many of these other events across the country. Perhaps you might elaborate where the whole community is brought into and involved in finance, receive benefits from DHS and FEMA. Tell us more, Sophia. This is going to be...
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to talk about Sandy Hook. That was not a global event, by the way. This is a global event. And
Yeah, but it was a capstone, right? It was a capstone event, not a global. Yes, go for it.
So, you observed, I observed, very many people have observed in their communities, things like flashing signs on the freeways saying, save lives, wash your hands, stupidities like this. And then these arty banners on lampposts that hang down in beautiful colors, and they say things like, this is Carlsbad, we wear masks. And we saw this last year, plenty of this stuff. And I'm thinking, who's paying for this? And it's now dawned on me that this is grant money. And the grant money is borrowed, by the governments of every country. It's just more of this fluff, this fiat currency that's printed, borrowed out of thin air from the international banks. So the definition of a capstone event is that the capstone, as we know, is the top triangular part of a pyramid. And we see it on our dollar bill. I mean, the capstone is shoved in our faces every single day and has been for years, 100 years, however long that $1 bill has been in use. And so at the top of the capstone is the all-seeing eye. And what that indicates in the structure of these events is that the people at the top of the pyramid know exactly what's going on. And everybody in the lower layers of the pyramid is operating on training, best judgment, assumption, that kind of thing. And so there are partners in these capstone events, and the partners, obviously, in this global capstone event, big partner is the media. We've got the CDC, all the health agencies in every country. We've got the FDA. We've got the vaccine companies. And there's a tremendous amount of money being exchanged. I mean, somebody paid those cities to put up those banners. Somebody paid in California, the agency called Caltrans, to put up these blinking signs on the freeways telling us to wash our hands and stay 6 feet apart. Everything in this world is done by commerce and contracts. And so these were all contracts for this information to be put out, for these policies and protocols to be put out. I found it amazing that when they closed down our swimming pools for 2 months, our public pools, when they reopened them in June last year, every public pool had the exact same protocol. You were allowed 45 minutes to swim. The periods were 1 hour. So you had to vacate the premises on the hour when the next load of, submissives would be allowed in with their masks. You had to come in your swimsuit, no showers, bathroom allowed only under express emergency conditions. And I'm thinking, how could they all figure this out? This was handed out, these protocols were handed out by the health department and of the county. And obviously the health department is another partner in this whole setup. So when you look at the vaccine companies, the FDA that has approved, and possibly they're going to approve in the near future, they're forcing on us so many different conditions that all kind of sing the same song, hark of the same agenda. And so that agenda has to be something that has been globally discussed. And we know that they had that PrEP exercise, in October of 2019, I guess it was, that involved Johns Hopkins and these other mighty entities. And they practiced this whole coronavirus pandemic. And they learned a lot of things and rehearsed a lot of things and got a lot of worked out some of the kinks. So what do you think, Jim?
Yeah, no, you're talking about Event 201, absolutely. It was a run-through explain exactly what was going to happen. And I do believe that the monsters behind all of these events believe if they tell the public what they're going to do, then if the public doesn't do what it ought to do in response, they've taken responsibility for the consequences which no longer belong to them. I mean, it's slightly absurd given the power they wield versus that of the ordinary public, particularly when the press and the government and the pharmaceutical giants and the social media are all on the side of these monsters, the globalist elitists who want to really annihilate, most of the world's population. I mean, the world has never confronted such a threat as this, Sophia, as I know you're well aware.
Jim, I don't think it's about annihilation of the population. It's about destabilization of health such that they can study on a very microscopic level how human biology works. Because this introduction of synthetic code by way of these vaccines, which most ordinary people have no understanding of, they don't know that the mRNA vaccine is putting inside your body an instruction, a protocol to make proteins in a non-human way. And the body has a very apt and very efficient detection system for faulty protein synthesis, but it doesn't kick in right away. It takes a while. This is what we learned from glyphosate. Glyphosate, you are aware of what that is, right?
Yeah. Isn't that the key in Roundup of this very serious cancer-inducing chemical?
It's not just cancer-inducing. It induces all kinds of what we call these modern ailments, which the health industry has told us are genetic, new genetic modern diseases. So glyphosate is not just in the weed-killing herbicides. It's used as a desiccant, a drying agent on crops worldwide. So this is another one of these red herring things. When they ban it in weed killer, as Bayer is now doing, Bayer acquired Monsanto, they're not going to stop spraying it on all the core crops all over the world. So core crops are our staples. So think all the grains, rice, corn, all the legumes, like garbanzo beans, any kind of bean, peanuts, chickpeas, well, those are garbanzo beans, sorry. I meant to say sugar cane, sugar beets. And this stuff is in everything. Everything we eat has, everything processed, everything you buy in the supermarket, the carbohydrates, the starches so many people live on, all of these materials in their food form, in their crop form, are sprayed right before harvest with glyphosate because glyphosate dehydrates plants. It withers them, it dries them out, and therefore they become easier to harvest. You can fit more on the transport trucks. So glyphosate, whether it's used in weed-killing agents or not, is being used as a desiccant on core crops worldwide. So what does that do? Glyphosate imitates the amino acid glycine. Glyphosate was synthesized, man-made. It was supposedly created by accident in the 1950s and then again in the 70s independently by a Monsanto scientist. And Monsanto patented it. So its chemical name is N-phosphonomethylglycine. So what that translates to is the glycine amino acid, which is the most abundant and one of the most versatile, sleek, supple amino acids in nature. So the glycine molecule with a phosphonomethyl chain on the nitrogen atom, N-phosphonomethylglycine. So what that effectively does is it's now a replica of the natural glycine, but it has this big thing hanging off the nitrogen atom, like a big awkward tail. And so all the proteins that are made out of glyphosate, because the body is a biochemical blind man, for a while it can't tell the difference between glyphosate and glycine. And so it makes its proteins with glyphosate instead of glycine. Amino acids build into proteins. So all the proteins in your body made with glyphosate instead of glycine have this molecule with this big old tail on it. And so that causes the proteins to be inefficient, to be, you know, crashing and burning, and it causes the tissues to fail as a consequence. So all of the diseases we have, you know, like arthritis, the epidemic of arthritis, anything in our bodies that uses proteins that have glycine in them, and glycine, I think, is something like 25% of the proteins in our body contain glycine. So the glycine is not being used. Glyphosate is being used, and our proteins are crashing and burning, and that's causing all kinds of diseases. That's causing neurological issues and breakdowns. It's causing all kinds of stuff to happen in our body. And this is what these false proteins that the mRNA is telling us to make are going to end up doing to us. They're going to cause us to crash and burn, and our body will figure it out eventually that, whoa, what is this spike protein that I've made? It's not right. So then it tries to denature, unfold the protein, and that is the body attacking itself, and that's autoimmune disease. So these people who have gotten the shot are running the risk of their body figuring out in 3 months, a year, 2 years, that it's full of misfolded, incorrectly synthesized proteins, and it's going to go to war against those proteins, and that's how autoimmune disease happens, your body attacking itself. So you people will be debilitated, let's just say, and that's what biotech is very interested in. How does a person malinger, languish with this low-grade destruction happening constantly? And what can we do to hijack the body further? I mean, the CEO of Moderna calls this, Stefan Boncel calls this the hacking the software of life. So they're admitting it. And this is what the public has somehow missed. They have not been aware that the thing they're running to get for free, Jim. And let's remember that when the thing you're getting is free, the product is you, right? That's why they give it to you for free, because they are making a product out of you with that thing in you.
I think you have a wonderful way of explaining these things, Sophia. I will have a couple of questions as we go along, but this is wonderful stuff. Go for it.
Well, I mean, I'm just ranting. I feel like I'm listening to a Jim Fetzer show, and I'm Jim.
No, I think you're exactly right. And my impression is when the body attacks itself, that it's a very agonizing experience. In other words, that a lot of the people we care about are potentially going to die very agonizing deaths. And, you know, we have the Deagle projections that the U.S. population is going to drop precipitously in 5 years from 330 million in 2020 to 65 million in 2025. That's a loss of 265 million, 265 million of our fellow citizens. And that's going to include a lot of our friends and a lot of our relatives, as well as persons of whom we heretofore have never heard. And it's just stunning what appears to be taking place, unfolding before our very eyes, just as you talk about the unfolding of these proteins, Sophia.
Yes. And Jim, you know, here's the thing. As people become debilitated, degraded, and they become more housebound, because what their body is experiencing is a tremendous stress load in the discovery that so many proteins are not working correctly, so many systems within the body are not working correctly, and then this has to be addressed. And one of the things I'm learning, I'm reading the advanced reader copy of a book, a really brilliant book. I think somebody's running a machine. I'm going to have to close the door. I don't know where this is coming from, so just give me a second. I don't know if you can hear it, but I can.
Well, it's pretty faint.
All right. So, but anyway.
Yeah, you can continue to, then at the break, you can deal with it if you want. We're good.
All right. So, Jim, I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Sure.
Okay, now you have to help me. What was I saying?
Well, let's see. A lot of people are going to have to figure out what's going on.
Oh, the oxidative stress. I'm reading this book that talks about how oxidation and reduction are two processes that the body kind of tries to keep in balance. Actually, it has to keep them in balance. This would be the uptake of electrons and the loss of electrons on a cellular level. So what's happening is when you start getting diseased, it just means that in a certain region of your body or a certain system, that system is losing energy and it's not able to gain energy fast enough. So overall, the people who become, you know, debilitated by this vaccine, and then all of the boosters, because I heard on TV the other day that Moderna is saying that the antibodies break down, they die off after 6 months. You have to get a booster. And the booster is just all about filling you with more and more genetic hijacking, right? So you're going to end up in a state of constant oxidative stress, and you're not going to feel good. And you're going to be basically sick. So this is, you know, a cash cow for the pharmaceutical industry who will be trying to treat you. None of this will be attributed to the fact that you're getting all these vaccines and boosters. So here, Jim, is what I learned from Alison McDowell. I think your listeners will be familiar with her because she's getting to be quite well known. And she talks about the future, you know, this transhuman future and the, I don't know how to encapsulate this in terms of just like a catchword, but they want us to live two-dimensionally. They want each of us to have a digital twin on the blockchain, which will move around and do and be just as we are in real life. We'll have a digital identity and a digital self that will be moving around on the blockchain. And this is the beauty of the 5G, because there's no latency in 5G transmission. So the perps in their ivory towers will be able to observe us as we are observed and surveilled by all of the cameras and all of the reporting. You know, I heard that Tesla cars, every other car on the road is a Tesla. They have back and front and side recording mechanisms. And they're recording everything that your car is doing, every place that it goes. So I believe, as Alison has hinted, that we're going to be so physically sick and miserable, Jim, in the condition that of permanent constant oxidative stress that we're going to be undergoing, that we will want to live as avatars, okay? Now, if you don't understand that, I'll explain it. But do you have any idea of what I'm talking about?
I want you to lay it out.
All right. Do I have enough time before some break is coming? Okay. So, Jim.
Well, you got about 5 to 6, and then we'll pick it up. Go.
All right. So already you know of, you know, devices like Trax at your house, Nordic Track type things, Peloton, where you're cycling away and sweating, but you're at home, indoors. But you can see on the screen in front of you a beautiful scenic landscape. And so it feels like, and you play music, it feels like you're, wow, you're out in the, you know, you have these panoramic views, there's waterfalls, blue sky, clouds, all of that. Well, they're going to be distributing, this is interim, 3D goggles. So people will be wearing these goggles. They'll be sitting in their bathrobes at home. I doubt they'll even be on an exercise machine, but they will get the feeling through the perception modulation that AI is bringing us, that the digital world can do for us. They will feel that they're running on the Serengeti in Africa, and gazelles are, you know, parallel next to them, just loping along, and the breeze is blowing, and these beautiful birds, and this beautiful setting. And I believe there's going to come a time when our perceptions will be so easily affected by AI that we will really feel the breeze blowing. We're not going to just, you know, hear nice music and see a landscape on a screen. We will be in that setting, perception-wise.
Sophia, this is just astonishing. I mean, just astonishing what you're laying out. Go for it.
Yeah. So Alison, she made just some offhand comment in a show I listened to. I talked to her yesterday, and we discussed this kind of thing on an ongoing basis. But she said, now get this, we will be so physically sick and miserable in our actual human condition, Jim, with aches and pains and burning sensations and neurological stuff going on, that we will want to live as avatars. We will want our perceptions hijacked so that we feel better. This is the new pharmacology.
God, it's so diabolical, Sophia. It's so devilish. It's so ingenious and sadistic and manipulative at the same time.
I know. As they steal your body and study your functions, you won't even feel it. Because if you go back to your body, if you want to claim your own 3D physicality, your real existence, you'll feel like hell. It won't be possible. You won't be able to do it. Painkillers even will be a thing of the past. They probably won't be available. They'll just tell you, okay, here, plug in and you won't feel this anymore. We're going to change all your sensations.
It hardly makes life worth living, it seems to me, what you're describing.
Yeah, but the thing is, Jim, you know, the life preservation instinct is very, very strong. When you're in a situation where, I mean, I haven't really been, but I've been in the ocean in horrendous waves and currents and all by myself, and you want to survive. You will do anything to get back to land. And so when you're in a terrible situation, let's say you have life, and the life turns out to be rotten and terrible and just, you know, rife with this kind of suffering, you will still try to survive. But you want to alter the pain. So the pain will be taken away by your perceptions being changed by AI. AI will be in your brain, in your neurology, turning, tweaking, so that you don't feel the pain of real life.
That's Sophia, yes, you want to hold that thought because we're about to hit the break and then we'll return with Sophia Smallstorm and Life as an Avatar. I think this is stunning our audience. Sophia, you're certainly blowing my mind. Fascinating stuff, completely. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have Sophia Smallstorm back here on the Raw Deal telling us now about life as an avatar, which I think virtually all of us are going to find highly disconcerting. I want you to carry forward, Sophia, and I do have a couple of questions about patents and DNA and graphene oxide, but those can await the conclusion or, you know, carrying forward what else you want to explain to us. This is, I think, quite fascinating stuff. Sophia.
Sorry, I was muted.
Sure.
Jim, apparently Jacques Attali, he is some kind of world-class economist. He's written a bunch of books. He was for 10 years an advisor to the French president Mitterrand. And he has now come out with this crazy statement that's on YouTube. It's in French, and I was looking for an English translation, which was in text. And he talks about, you know, how we have to, our genetic code itself, we are increasingly able to combat its shortcomings, and that is how it should be. We are very capable of creating vaccines that will protect this code, improve it, and defend it against viruses. So this is the pretext. This is the operating pretext. They have created this myth of viruses, and they are now the, you know, guarding against it, defending against viruses with these things that they call vaccines, which are not vaccines at all. They're just hacking into your code. And as your code gets hacked, your body is going to become changed, and the change is not going to be positive. They varnish it with, you know, terms like improving and defending your body, and it will protect you. But I mean, seriously, you know, if the service is free, the product is you. So they want you to become their experiment. And the problem with these vaccines is there's no way you can take the effect or the product out of yourself. Once it's in there, it's in there. So even if you go after them and you say that contractually there wasn't full disclosure, which, you know, under the terms of a proper contract, there has to be full disclosure. But you cannot unplug this stuff from your body.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, because they're gene altering. It's a form of gene therapy. It's not even actually a vaccine. Classically, vaccines introduce a weakened version or strain of a virus or bacterium, whatnot, so the body can develop its own antibodies to resist it. But in this case, they merely weaken the symptoms for a brief period of time, but much more substantially revise your DNA. They actually change. It's a form of gene splicing, and I think you're 100% correct. Virtually nobody who's taken the vax had any idea they were altering their gene. And for this Frenchman to be suggesting they can improve on the natural evolution over roughly a million years, I mean, it's just idiotic. This is man playing God. I mean, nature and evolution have enabled us to survive to this point. And what they're doing to us is, without any doubt, going to be deleterious, disadvantageous. It's not going to enhance our ability to adapt to our environment, to ward off hazards, whether they're, you know, whatever form they may take, but indeed is making us subservient to and utterly in control of a global elite that can manipulate us. I strongly suspect this means they can remotely control our thoughts and our actions, Sophia. I think that's the ultimate goal here, to turn human beings into manageable robots.
Yeah, and also to make human beings out of from code. He says in here, the one, meaning the person, made in an artificial way from this code will be, you know, compared to or facing people who are trying to protect the essentials of life against the artificialization of codes. Now, Jim, the other day I had a little brainwave, and that was to create a federation for natural life. So, you know, you can tell people in your daily going about, you don't want to be vaccinated because you believe in the federation of natural life. You want to protect your own natural biology, the natural biology of everything on the planet, and you are not going to alter your genetic code. Because the problem is, people don't understand that they've accepted an offer of contract into the transhumanist exchange, transhumanist agenda, transhuman exchange. They don't know that this is not something that, you know, is in a sci-fi movie, transhumanism. And he argues here, this Atali guy, let me just show you, that a prosthetic, you know, we are supplemented with prostheses, and then the prosthesis comes into us, and it gradually becomes us without our realizing it.
You know, Sophia, that's just a wonderful analogy, because they're suggesting that by altering our genes, they're going to improve on what nature has evolved. Just as well, they might argue that a man has replaced his natural arm with an artificial arm has therefore achieved an improvement. I know of no human being who'd be willing to swap their naturally evolved arm for an artificial arm, no matter how sophisticated the robotics. And I think the absurdity there is really well displayed by the analogy. The fact is, they're going to derive tremendous benefits from being able to manipulate us. That is the goal. That is the objective. It is not for our good. And this pretense and suggestion, Fauci is now claiming that worse variants could impact the vaccinated if COVID is allowed to keep mutating in the unvaccinated. They're desperate to try to get all of us vaccinated so there will not be an unvaccinated control group who will not be dying or suffering serious harm at the rate of the vaccinated. It's already taking place, as I reported at the start of the show. In Israel, in Germany, we're finding The vast majority of those are hospitalized now in Israel, the country with the highest rate of vaccination, are the vaccinated. So, you know, Fauci, who's one of the great liars of all time, they say in Washington, the bigger the liar, the further you go. I think Anthony Fauci has reached the apotheosis. He is as great a liar as the world has ever seen. You're making many, many telling points up here. I wanted to raise this question, too. The Supreme Court actually had a decision related to the patentability of DNA, and they ruled that naturally evolved DNA was not patentable because it's rather on the order with laws of nature, which are likewise not patentable products of nature, but that revised DNA would be patentable. And by revising our DNA, therefore, I believe each of those who have taken the jab and changed their DNA are subject to having their DNA patented. If they have their DNA patented, I do not know the ramifications for themselves as persons who exemplify that DNA, but it's a pretty awesome, mind-boggling situation to imagine that some other entity could actually patent your DNA.
Yeah, Jim, I read a document. It was a ruling from the Supreme Court from, I think, 2012 or 2013, and it had to do with the BRCA gene. And it said that the cDNA, complementary DNA, was patentable because DNA has something called introns and I don't know what the other thing is. It's opposite, extron or something like that. And when they make DNA which has one and not the other, then it's called cDNA, complementary DNA. And since it's not made, it doesn't parallel the original DNA because it only has one of these two things in it, then it is patentable. It's considered man-made. So once again, I don't know what that's going to bring to us, the fact that people are now roaming the world with somebody else's patented stuff in them. But, you know, I said this in a presentation. I think I did this at ConspiracyCon in 2011, and I called it the partnership. So you will be forced into partnership with some corporation if they decide that you have the DNA or the, you know, biological product of someone's creation in your body. Do they own you? Do they dictate what happens to you? I don't know. This is a very strange future. But the thing is, you know, Atali says that we also have to change our social codes. We must transition from the code of selfishness and greed to a code of altruism and respect. And he says, how do we do this? Will it be a sudden change? Will it be a voluntary change? Will it be a gradual change? We will move from the code of selfishness and greed to the code of altruism and empathy. It will come after a shock, no doubt. It is up to us to start doing this for this reason, to realize that in the current crisis, all the codes are being called into question. So that's what this pandemic is for. It's the springboard, the trampoline to call everything we do into question. And then he says,
well, this guy has a flimsy grasp of moral theory and the alternatives. I mean, sure, they're the simplest and most childish versions, like ethical egoism or simple subjectivism that advocate, you know, acting selfishly, and it's supposed to be the right thing if it benefits you. But it's very clear that those are indefensible moral theories, and that the only serious candidates include a social contract theory and deontology, where social contract theory would have it that we enter into a compact with our fellow humans to promote our common interests, and that thereby entails certain obligations not to do harm to one another, which does not necessarily go so far as to support one another's endeavors, but where deontology defines the essence of morality as respect, so that Aretha got it right, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, which means never using other persons merely as means but always respecting them as ends, meaning as, you know, autonomous individuals who are entitled to pursue their own goals and aspirations so long as they don't interfere with the rights and entitlements of others, were classic examples of using other people as means, would include murder, robbery, kidnapping, rape. Obviously, those are cases that are immoral because they involve using other persons as means. Now, this mediocrity who's issuing these ponderous sounding statements about acting altruistically is really wanting to subjugate the entire species, all of humanity, to serve as means for the global elite. So he's really espousing about as immoral a philosophical stance as one could possibly imagine. But that has to do with the brazenness, the span, the chutzpah, the enormity of the project, where they really basically want to turn the vast majority of Earth's occupants into serfs and slaves for the global elite. It's that bad when you spell it out.
Well, yeah, and he says here, the real code must be the one that makes life possible for future generations. So on this trampoline of the pandemic, they are saying, well, we have to look into the future. We can't just see ourselves in this current scenario. You have to think long-term for others, he says, long-term for future generations. That is the key to our destiny. We will not survive ourselves if we do not give the means to live to future generations. Our life depends not on our past, but on our future. So he wants us to, he says here, this is why I call for the creation of a positive society and within a society of an economy of life. That is to say, of an economy, this is a bad translation, something truly tolerated by all codes, only those sectors that are useful to life and not the sectors that they poison. So now he says, do not allow sugar, do not allow tobacco, do not allow alcohol, do not allow oil. That means, you know, the oil industry. Do not allow everything that arises from these activities. A small part of agriculture, a large part of the transport industry, including automobiles, air travel, railways, mechanical industry, the chemical industry, the textile industry. We should develop the economies of life, the sectors of health and hygiene, food, education, culture, digital, security, democracy, sustainable housing, sustainable energy. If we do all this, we create a code of life around an economy of life at the service of future generations. And we will have succeeded in creating the conditions for this world that we miss so much. So that's the futuristic view, you know, that we sacrifice everything now for this quote-unquote sustainable future for our children, who are going to be made by artificial means, right?
Well, the whole business of sustainability is suspect, Sophia, because it's rooted in the false belief that CO2 is somehow inimical to the health of the Earth, when in fact it's simply a byproduct of human respiration, and it's converted back into oxygen by plants through processes well known to biologists. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You've taken what you know, Al Gore called inconvenient truths that look plausible because they're talking about, you know, a relatively minor cyclic change in Earth's weather conditions, but they're part of a global overall series of cycles through which Earth has passed over and over and over again, and trying to turn it into a propaganda set piece to completely abolish fossil fuels, gas, and oil. It's going to not only destroy the economy, it's going to make mobility virtually impossible. Electric cars have very limited duration. They've got a problem here with the disposal of the lithium batteries, analogous to that of atomic waste. The idea of developing nuclear power plants when we had no idea how to dispose of nuclear waste was absurdity, and it's never been solved. I'm not even sure it's capable of being solved. So, you know, we seem to have an unbelievable capacity to find ways to do damage to ourselves and to limit our life on Earth. It may well be these vaccines do turn out to be an extinction event, but if so, I believe it's going to take all the global elitists along with it They can never anticipate every aspect of a complicated situation like this. I do believe that the truth is emerging faster than their vaccines can work, that it was part of the deliberate design that they not actually start having those who are the recipients drop like flies for 6 to 8 months and on a variable schedule, so it wouldn't be so obvious the causal connection between the vax and the deaths. But we did have 45,000 who died within 3 days. Now, normally, with any other kind of medical procedure, that would have immediately brought a cessation, a total and complete halt. But it hasn't happened because all these organizations that officially were supposed to be benefiting ourselves and looking out for our health have been doing nothing of the sort, but precisely the opposite, because they've been bought and sold and controlled by the global oligarchs. I mean, we're in a horrendous situation, Sophia, and I greatly appreciate the aspects you're discussing, you're addressing here today. Fascinating stuff.
Right. And when you say bought and sold, Jim, we're talking about those commerce contract arrangements in that capstone setting, because this is all bought and paid for. These people are doing this because there's a contract that they have agreed to, and they're benefiting. They're getting paid for it. And, you know, they don't think about the moral picture, because I don't know why, maybe the incentives are so strong. But Jim, I mean, I have to say this, and I feel weird citing this example, but I am in total shock. A couple of days ago, I was in the jacuzzi at a swimming pool, and there was a guy there who I had seen a year or more ago. And he was perched on the edge. He was relaxing. He had gone for a run. And he asked me how my swim was, and I said it was fine, but, you know, I said I tore my bicep last year, so I have good days and bad days. It takes a very long time for that to heal. And you know what he said to me, Jim? This is an athlete who has run marathons all his life. He's in his 60s. He says to me, "What's a bicep?" And I thought I didn't hear him correctly. I said, "What?" And he said, "What's a bicep?" I said, "You don't know what a bicep is?" And he said, "No." And I pointed to my arm and I made a muscle. You know, I said, "This is a bicep." He didn't know this.
That's bizarre.
It's shocking.
I mean, non-athletes are aware of biceps. I mean, you know, and I mean, how many ads you see on television developing your biceps, your triceps, your quads, the whole bit on the exercise routines and all that. I mean, that's very strange, Sophia.
And he wasn't even ashamed of it. I said, "You don't know what that means?" I was just in paralytic shock. I could not believe it. I mean, biceps are featured in Saturday morning cartoons for children.
Sure.
It's crazy, isn't it? So if people are lacking in common education, if their ignorance is so vast and so deep, how are they ever going to get out of this, you know, enormous, devious net that has been cast for them?
That's a good question. I think most Americans are so uneducated, scientifically illiterate. I think it was easy to deceive. I mean, we've been played again and again, 9/11, the moon landing, the idea of Lee Oswald shooting JFK. I mean, we have been proven to be a massively gullible population, Sophia. And they're just benefiting from past experience. They know we won't know the difference. It's like in the staging of Las Vegas shooting, you got this body on the ground and there are a handful of shell casings. Well, Scott Bennett, with his keen eye, noticed they included CO2 gas cartridges. They included blank cartridges around this guy who is Stephen Paddock, who is supposed to have fired all these rounds, you know, during the massacre in Las Vegas, which was nothing but it's just that prop master knows, you know, they're just going to throw down something that to make it look, they think, impressive. No one will even pay attention. It's like in the parking lot at Sandy Hook, you had all these vehicles parked in the middle rows all facing the school when they should have been turned around and parked facing away. but it was easier to bring him in two by two by two and just fill him in. After all, they were only props who would notice. And Americans are just so stunningly gullible. We buy this stuff up and we don't even think twice about it.
Yeah, people just look at a scene. They don't look at the details in a scene. And they say yes. You know, if it's on the news, then they have to believe it. They have to agree with it. And in this situation where this Atali guy is saying, well, we have to change, we can't be selfish, people will say yes because, you know, they want to be politically correct. They want to be magnanimous. They want to look out for future generations. This is the trap in the word sustainable. You have to do this for the people of tomorrow. So anything that's called sustainable, they will agree to because they have been trained, you know. It's very easy to train people.
And when you talk about political correctness, yes, I think that was the beginning of the end because it was really suppressing of critical thinking. You're supposed to worry about harming someone's feelings. Well, freedom of speech has nothing to do with feelings. Freedom of speech has to do with pursuing the truth rigorously, you know, enthusiastically, aggressively. And if people's feelings get hurt, well, so what? The truth is overwhelmingly greater than feelings. What they've done is subordinate truth, the search for truth and critical thinking to political correctness and preserving other people. We had the absurdity of a 42-ton massive granite boulder on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Madison moved because there were some blacks who called it a racist rock. Imagine the absurdity, Sophia, a 42-pound boulder from the glacial era, you know, a fascinating object, been there forever, was moved because some student said it had once been referred to with a slur, and therefore it turned out to be a racist rock. How stupid is that? How stupid is that? Meanwhile, if it's good with you, Sophia, we will open the phone lines and take callers, but I want you to continue to lay out everything you're discussing here. 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. How can a rock be racist? I mean, Sophia, this stupidity is monumental, and that's right here in Madison on a great university where my daughter and son-in-law were both undergraduates and, you know, love the school, terrific, but this kind of stupidity in the name of political correctness, it's nauseating, it's wrong, and it's killing our culture. We'll be right back with Sophia Smallstorm.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Sophia, we do have a couple of callers standing by, but before I turn to them, I'd like for you to add further thoughts of your own before I bring them in.
Oh, Jim, I don't know if I have much more to say. I mean, I've covered everything. I want people to understand that they are throwing an offer of contract around and rewarding us with free Uber rides and Krispy Kreme donuts. And they're even threatening to take away Social Security, I heard, if you don't get your vaccine.
Really? See, this is all fear. This is all fear porn. That wouldn't even be. There's no way that would be legal or constitutional. But then they're doing all this other nonsense that's illegal and unconstitutional. The whole idea: the CDC doesn't have the right to even extend this exemption for renters and all that stuff. I mean, there's so many things going on here that are beyond the pale. It's outrageous. Okay, we got three callers standing by already. Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation with Sophia. Bruce, are you there? Mitchell, did we lose
Bruce? I'm sorry. I had a brainiac moment.
Go ahead.
Yes, hello, Sophia. You're a great guest. I like hearing you when you come on Jim's show, and thank you for all the work you've done on Sandy Hook. That was a real eye-opener, all your videos and what have you.
Oh, sure. What's your question?
I had a half coyote, half lab puppy that I adopted when I was living out in West Texas. And that animal was the smartest dog I've ever owned. You know, he was just very intelligent, very inquisitive. And you look at how domestic dogs have been bred. They've been bred to be actually dumber than wild animals and only focused towards one mission or one job to perform. Now, I believe that's what they're doing with humans. They're dumbing us down on purpose, just like domesticated animals.
That's right.
Yeah.
We can't think anymore. We can't do what Jim Fetzer does on his shows every day. We can't cite philosophy and all the stuff that he was getting into. But this is the thing. Yeah. There's the education process is very poor, very poor. And I want you to know something. A zoologist.
Hello, it's Sal.
I'm sorry. That's Mitchell trying to get back to a caller. Go ahead, Sophia.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember A.K. Dudeney, Jim, from the 9/11
sure.
days?
Yeah. Okay, of course.
He's a biologist, and he and I were great friends. We used to talk on a regular basis, and he told me once that a domesticated dog, a pet, even a cat or a dog, when you put your hand out and you stroke a dog, you pet him, right? What that does is it infantilizes the dog, because the dog goes back to the time when he was a puppy and his mother's tongue was licking him. And so that would be the feeling of the human hand on the adult dog, would be like the mother's tongue, which a dog could never do to another dog, right? They have those hard little paws with the nails on them. They could never stroke. So this, in fact, this petting of dogs infantilizes them, which is why they turn over and show you their bellies and they want to be scratched and they start drooling and their eyes roll back in their head. So Dewdney always told me that the wild animal was far superior to the domesticated animal, because we had infantilized the domesticated animals by this, you know, petting, constant attention and petting routine. And the wild animals had far more plasticity in their brains, more wrinkles, more. I did a whole newsletter on brains and I'm not recalling it now, but that's kind of a response to Bruce.
Very good, Bruce. Listen, stand by, Bruce. I may get back because we have several callers and not a lot of time. I'm going to turn to Paul next. Paul, go ahead. Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, great. That was one of the more enjoyable half hours in the first hour. Sophia, I particularly enjoyed the line when you said, I'm just ranting here. I feel like I'm on the Jim Fetzer show and I'm Jim.
That's right.
I got a chuckle out of that. The other thing that I couldn't help laughing, and I thought that this question from this man about what is a bicep, it's one of those moments in life that you can't really prepare for, and you always think of the perfect thing afterwards to say, and it's like immediately I thought to myself, you know, it's right below the deltoid. That's where you take your vaccine. I think you need one, maybe one in each arm.
Nice. I
don't know. Sophia, how many Mark Dice videos you watched, or when
a
Jay
lot.
Leno used to go out? Yeah, or you used to, Jay Leno used to go out on the street. I forget the name. I think he called it jaywalking, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, the ignorance, the dumbness of people is simply astounding. You know, I like to joke a lot, and Jim's heard me say before on this show that I'm a college dropout, and you know it's true. I was in school. I was not really academically gifted. I was always in the advanced class, but I was never at the top. But to me, I just think there's a form of a complete human laziness that just takes over most people's lives. And for the last year or so, I've asked people, can you tell me what a virus is?
Hello, you know, it's Sal.
Difference. And
I welcome any of you to leave.
And I've probably asked 40 or 50 people going back a year, just casual conversation. Not one person has offered any answer, not even really an attempt. And just, I'm almost done here quickly. What I've been saying to people now and just trying to reach through to them, because you might have got one too, Sophia. I sent a picture of the chalkboard in front of Knoxville Supermarket, because now they're writing on a chalkboard, mask are required, right? And this is what passes for... you know, what would you call reality for people? And I've told many people, and I'm continuing to tell them, did you know that no authority exists to require you to wear a mask? None. No authority exists to require anybody to take a vaccine. And everybody keeps talking, well, the county or the state, but there is no county. Give me a name. Going back 6 months or more, I've asked people, give me a name from somebody in the county that's contacted you, that told you to do this. Not one person can give me a name. It's all just this ridiculous conceptual nonsense that's been perpetrated on an extremely dumb population. And all I can do really at this point is just to be entertained by it as best I can, because what else can I do?
Right. I mean, we've discussed this a million times. Peggy Hall has all this stuff on her website, all the arguments that you can present. They can't discriminate against the public when they are registered as a place of public accommodation, et cetera, et cetera. But nobody understands this. You use a multisyllabic word with these people and they'll glaze over. They'll get angry with you. They'll call the police, and the police are no better.
No, the failure of the U.S. educational system is profound. Paul, excellent. I want to come back to you, but I want to give Scaredy a chance to get a word in too, edgewise. Scaredy Cat, go ahead.
Thanks, Jim and Mitchell, and hi, Sophia, and everybody else. So So to go to your biceps event, maybe about 5-10 years ago, I was substitute teaching in an inner city school, which means basically almost all black kids. Their lives in the concrete jungle is so artificial that I had, from the lunchroom, she had actually lunch detention, which means you have to stay with the teacher. And I had gone down to the lunchroom and brought up some, you know, sandwiches and some apples, whichever I could see was, you know, at least partially healthy. And she took a bite in the apple. It was a red, delicious apple. And there was and then she screamed so loud and threw the apple. And it was a big, what they say, quote, drama queen thing. And what there was there was a slight, like a little, not a worm, nothing. It was just part of the apple's flesh, just a strand of the red skin. You know, there was a little bit into the white, just slight hair, like a speck, maybe a 16th of an inch. And so this goes to how us human beings are losing touch with reality. I think, you know, she's used to eating chips where every Dorito is perfect, candy, every lemon drop is perfect and exactly the same. So the slightest variation of anything on the skin, like a little brown speck, definitely alarmed her, but almost all of that generation who grew up in the same way in what my husband actually called pubic schools. My question, so that's just the amusing / absolutely tragic state of affairs of our young people, our youthful generation. And so then they will believe everything, anything that a rich person is providing. Like, by rich person, I mean whoever's earning their TV, etc. Second thing is, would you be willing to just talk to one or two people? Today is actually Holocaust Day. Nagasaki's, I think it was plutonium bomb that holocausted the people of Japan. I think it was 76 years ago, and then 3 days ago, August 6th, was Hiroshima Holocaust. The two cities in Japan, I think the Hiroshima 3 days ago, 76 years ago, was a uranium bomb. And it's very appropriate that there is a group led by Mark Collett in England who is running a day called Indigenous Peoples Day, and more specifically, White Lives Matter, because he's an Englishman, WLM, to counteract some of the social, I don't know what to call it, filth, the bad ideas that are showing up on TV, like the what they call the, quote, critical race theory. And would you be willing to tell people, not just relying on the radio, since you're a real person and you live in a different state from us, tell an actual friend that this is happening today. And what he's asking for is, everybody just do something tiny. Even if you're too scared to go in the street and hold up a White Lives Matter sign, just take a photograph of yourself with a little poster and send it in to him. And his address is, it starts like Marvelous, M-A-R, then a K, four letters, for Mark at the, like the definite article, T-H-E, fall, like the autumn, F-A-L-L, of, like the preposition, O-F, Western, as in opposite of East, W-E-S-T-E-R-N.
Jesus,
man,
this?
Man, as... woman's husband, man.com. So 19 letters altogether, the fall of westernman.com. And his email, that's his website,
that's a website for his book, but his actual email that he's asking people to send in photographs to is mark@. I'm just suggesting that he's a real person. He has 150, 200 people. He's a real leader. Talks to people. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Scarity, we're just getting a bit off of the, you know, issues before us today. Thank you. Yes, Nagasaki, we all regret the bombing of Japan. Let me go back to Bruce ever so briefly. Bruce, do you have another question for Sophia? And then I'll turn to Paul. Bruce? If Bruce isn't here, Paul, go ahead. Speak up.
Well, I can't think of any questions at the moment. None of us can really predict the future. I do agree with what Sophia said earlier about I don't really think this is about annihilating us. I know that there will be a number of people that will die. I don't think it's as dire as Sherry Tenpenny says, or as you are always talking about, Jim, with the Deagle numbers. I just don't think it's going to go that way. And the thing that's troubling to me is there's going to be so many people lulled into a false sense of, I guess, for lack of a better word, a wellness. I mean, I've already had one man say to me, "Oh well, I'm fine. I feel okay." You know, cause he got the shot, right? And you know what? People live in the moment as it is anyway. So, you know what? I have no comeback when people say that to me. You know, I just we're just going to have to let it play out. All I know is this: is to my way of thinking, most people that are not getting this, it's just in their nature. It's not so much how much they know or how educated they are, because at least three or four guys I know are all regular, just everyday blue-collar guys. A couple of them are not very well educated, but there is no way they were going to get it, and their wife or their girlfriend did, and it's just the way it's kind of playing out. I think there's a certain number of people in the population that are more susceptible to this kind of propaganda. I don't think there was ever a time in my life that I would have fallen for this. I remember at 18, 19 years old arguing with my parents about registering for the draft.
Listen, they're making a caste system out of us. They're going to divide us on the basis of who believes in this and who doesn't. And once again, I will remind people, you can pop out those three letters, Federation of Natural Life. I belong to the Federation of Natural Life. I am going to protect my naturalness. You know, and I just thought of something while you were talking, Paul, which is that it could be that they will tell us down the road that our genes are mutating out of control because of all the man-made pollution. And I mean, we're going back to what Atali said, we have to eradicate the chemical industry and, you know, everything, the railroads, everything that we do is bad and it's unsustainable. So what if they tell us, this is one of my what ifs, what if they tell us, you know what? Our very genetics are mutating. My God, this is going out of control. We have to intervene. We have all these genetic therapies because we have passed from chemical medicine, which was pharmacology, where they were trying to tell us that they could find a drug, a chemical concoction, a man-made concoction to address every disease or ailment or illness. And then we passed into radiation medicine. It started with radiation diagnostics, and then it went into radiation treatment, or maybe the other way around, or a mix of them both, because, you know, you were scanned for disease, and then you were treated with radiation. Now we're into the era of genetic medicine, which is where these vaccines fit in. They are genetic therapies.
Yeah, no, that was very, really well put. And I can't help but keep going back to what I've been saying to people for a very long time, that all allopathic medicine, to my way, besides emergency surgery and all these wonderful things they've done with orthopedics, almost all allopathic medicine is made to, in some way, mask a symptom or suppress a symptom and not to really make us well. I mean, we had a tradition, as you probably know, Sophia, of naturopathic, homeopathic medicine in this country we inherited from Europe. And they completely, brushed it aside, took it over, and squashed it. So now everything that's being promoted, all drugs, even before these vaccines came on the scene, basically all these drugs did was to modify in some way either or suppress or interfere with the body's natural metabolic mechanism or coping mechanism. And so this is what they are now telling us is questionable and is quackery. And the only drugs that they have to sell and that they own the patents for are to be used for standard of care. And it's just, it's laughably transparent to me, but other people can't see it. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it's like you're, Jim's used to it now. You are, Sophia. Many people are used to you walking around through life, and you're just one of these people that can see things, and other people don't see them.
Yeah, it's the really movie, the movie They Live, you know, we yeah. can see what's going on. But, you know, it's not drugs, Paul. We're passing. We're bypassing drugs. Drugs will be behind us. It's gene therapies yes. that will be the new future. And gene therapies will, quote unquote, correct all that's going wrong with humans. And they might assign all of the aberrations that are developing to our own deeds. We polluted the earth, and now your genetics are changing because of this. It's forcing your genes to mutate, to get bent out of shape and go out of control. I don't know. They might try that, and people will believe it. That's the thing.
Jim had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, Monica Schaefer, and she put it best when she said that this is what the Jews always do, is they create these situations and then they blame you. Okay, they blame you for what it is they're doing to you and what they're planning to do. And in my simple way of looking at history, it was only 120 or 125 years ago that we started letting Jews into this country in massive numbers. And there was people that didn't want it at the time, starting in the 1870s and the 1880s and all through the 1890s. They came here from Eastern Europe and Russia in large numbers. And what a mistake that was, because you look at what our country has become and what they're trying to turn it into now and what they're trying to do to all of us. Compromise our blood. This is all they're trying to do, is to compromise our blood and to destroy our blood. That's my simple way of looking at it.
Get this, Paul, factor this in. More than 1 million people entered the U.S. illegally in the first 6 months of 2021. More than 1 million. That number is greater than the population of Wyoming, Vermont, Alaska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Delaware, Rhode Island, Montana, and the District of Columbia. If the numbers continue at the current rate, those crossing the southern border illegally will total close to the population of the fourth largest city of Houston, with a population of 2.3 million, greater than 15 states and the District of Columbia. They're flooding the country. This is all totally deliberate. This is grotesque. Grotesque. Sophia, I know that wasn't right on our topic here with this genetic engineering vaccines and all that, but it's another aspect of the big picture here of how they're attempting to turn the country into chaos and turn us inside out. And I wish I could say Paul's wrong about it, but I think somewhere between Bibi Netanyahu and George Soros, you got the brain children behind a whole lot of this, together with the global elitists. Your thoughts, Sophia?
Well, Jim, you know, I've been to the third world, and I think they're turning this into a third world country. But honestly, if you're in India and you're trying to get on a bus, that bus is already overflowing with people and animals, and people are hanging out the windows. People might be on the roof. There's going to be stuff in string bags on the roof, and yet the people will put a hand out, and they will pull you onto the bus, and you will be stuffed onto this bus with many more people than the space on the bus should handle. And everybody will be happy. They're all laughing and grinning. The existence is going to be very different. We are very privileged right now, very privileged. And we're going, that those conditions are going to change.
Oh, I think you're 100% correct. Scaredy, if you could put it in really brief words, I'd be glad for you to make another comment or question, Scaredy.
Thanks, Jim. So, Sophia, you had mentioned before in other talks I heard that iodine deficiency is something that people really suffer from. And so if you could just talk about that, plus also in this modern time, like this month and this today, what is a good new additional nutrition to have to help us right now? And what exactly do they mean when they say you have tested positive for COVID? Because they haven't identified the thing. Are they saying you're positive for the spike protein? Or it's nonsensical to me. I don't really understand. And just one last thing, Jim, just in defense of myself, So this man, Mark Collette, he does talk on the radio like we're doing, but he has gathered together a couple of hundred people who do go door to door, very loyal to him, handing out vaccine passport, dangers pamphlets, illegal immigration pamphlets, and they actually are people on the streets, like your one guy, Tony, who calls you from Chicago.
Yeah.
Mark Collette has 200 people doing that. So
that's
why it's good to help him and see if we can copy him and get our own 200 people.
I'm glad you brought it up, Scaredy. Sophia, we're down to the nitty-gritty here.
I can't answer all those questions, but I can tell you iodine is very essential. Next best thing you can do is touch the ground with your feet, like they do in third world countries, and get plenty of sunlight, because light and electrons are going to help you. And iodine helps in that process of creating ATP, which is the cellular fuel. So my website, avatarproducts.com, I've got three brands of iodine and the cheapest nascent iodine in the world. So avatarproducts.com, try a $20 bottle of iodine. It will last you for many months, 6 months, more even. And you get a dosage guide with it, and it's very easy to take. So try that, iodine supplementation. And get sunlight and put your feet on the ground, not in shoes. The ground meaning the earth or concrete.
So there we have the difference between Sophia as a potential avatar of the future and Sophia with her company, Avatar Products. It's wonderful having you here, Sophia. You're splendid. Everyone enjoyed it. And I know they're already looking forward to your return.
Thank you. And an avatar is a person who lives by high ideals. I'm not the computer avatar. I've had the name Avatar Products for a long time, almost 20 years.
I was just playing on the fact. It's
no,
the same.
I know.
Nice. Wonderful job, Sophia. Great to have you here. Thanks to everyone for calling in. I think we realize we're up against it. The situation is as grim as it could possibly be. I close with the observation I've been making on virtually every show. Spend as much time as you can with your family, friends, and loved ones, because frankly, we do not know how much time we have left. Meanwhile, stock up. If you don't have guns, get one. Learn how to defend yourself. Be supplies. There's going to be a food shortage. You're going to combine the mass with the slow kill of the vaccines faster with starvation. Mark my words, it's coming. Glad to have you here. Wonderful to see you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.